Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiika 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I am your empress, the one you need. I am your advisor, the one you want. And I am your advocate, the one you also need. I say welcome to those newcomers And I say Habari Gani to my old friends and followers, and I say come right in and have a seat. We'd like to welcome you here to the Care to Read Room. We are a friendly room. We advocate reading books, as well as participating in Black History Month. And that's what we're about to do, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a celebration of the African American History Month. And this celebration means that we focus in on ourselves. We focus in on the topics that pertain to African people. Now, we know that we celebrate our heritage, not necessarily heritage, but our culture every day. We know that it's very important for us to focus in on ourselves and what we do, because sometimes it's a little difficult to be African every day. And we have to debate with ourselves to be or not to be African, because we're trying to fit in with the mainstream. And it gets a little difficult sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. We know that. But what we also know is that we're not disillusioned by the fact that someone gave us 1 month to celebrate in, that we don't celebrate those other 11 months of the year. Yes, we do. But because this is the shortest month of the year, we want to get on with this celebration. And that's exactly what it is a celebration of ourselves. Can you say celebration? Now, I don't know how many of my followers have been watching what I've been doing, but I told you I wanted to transition from the media of the audio to the media of the TV and video. So if you've been going out to my website or my Facebook, you've probably been seeing Omi out there doing a show or two. So I won't be necessarily appearing on these lines on a regular basis, but you will see me on the video. That's right. I really have come out of a real bag, and I decided, since everybody and their mother can have their church and they don't have credentials, since I do have credentials that the man gave me to endorse me to marry, bury, and baptize, I decided for this month, and possibly this month only, I'm not certain, to introduce my way of life. And I didn't say religion, and I didn't say church. We're a way of life, meaning that we are a family institute that advocate quality of life. I want you to hear me now, because I know there are people listening in, and this is for their ears only. We are not a church. I'm not a religious organization, but I'm a family life institute. And we talk about the way of life, and we're pulling away from the church concept. People are sick and tired of churches promising to deliver something and not delivering on their promises. We're a way of life, and we promise you nothing, nothing other than to love you and to embrace you with a way of life so you can have a quality of life. And you can take it home immediately on Monday morning and use the material. And it's not something that you have to name it, claim it. It's not something that you have to put in a donation. It's not something that you have to write in and get a cloth to put over your knee for your prayer. It's something where you're going to learn to be self-sustainable, learning how to meditate on your own, guiding yourself into meditation. And it's something where you're going to learn how to tap into your powers with your higher self, which is the essence of God. You're self-dependent. However you worship in privacy, I will only be giving you methods of how you can begin to go into your worshiping rituals and ceremony. And what we're doing is not bringing you another church, because of people, we don't need another church. A hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We don't need another one of those. I think our people are doing a good enough job to provide that. So there's no sense in me replicating what's already been done. I'm bringing you something that's not out there, something that's fresh and new, something that is off the cuff for our young people so they can sit down and they can listen to and they can aspire to, something that they can get involved in and be a part of, a way of life. Can you say that? The ministry of a way of life. And the ministry of the way of life, we're going to get on with this show in a minute, and we're going to give you a little taste of what we're about to put on the Facebook and on the web pages and on the YouTube. And it's something that's been so badly needed, an understanding of African culture and Africans' ways of life. And so we can stop calling it fetish, We can stop calling it juju. We can stop calling it demonized. We can stop calling it derogatory names because somebody told you that it was witchcraft. Somebody told you that it was fetish. It was High John the Conqueror. Now, if you wanted to listen to what somebody said, you should have listened a long time ago to what people were telling you. How is somebody going to, that it will enslave you, going to give you something that's right for you? Now, we have to remember that Christianity was not the religion of choice for the African. They didn't know of the Jesus that we are worshiping. They didn't know of a Jesus that brought them anything. And they will tell you personally that Jesus was sent to the Hebrews. He was not sent to the Africans. And that every culture of people have their prophets that were sent to them. African American, why don't you know your prophets? Why don't you know who was sent to you? Why are you confused about who your prophet is? Well, I want to school you and let you know that African people have a prophet. That's right. You've been hearing me preach on the topic of Oromola. He is the African prophet. He is the same person as Jesus. We're not taking your Jesus away. We're making Jesus more applicable, and we're making Jesus more accessible. For those of you who think you know Jesus and say you know Jesus and walk with Jesus, and Jesus is your all in all, I want to reintroduce you to your Jesus so that you know he came from an African concept, Oromola. He was the one that sat at the right hand of God when God said, let us make man. Oromola, can you say that? He was the one that sculptured us, made our hands, made our feet, sculptured our face, gave us our identity, marked us with our color. He also marked our children for prayer. For those of you who refuse to acknowledge him and praise him and have a life of prayer, he marked our children. He marked our children with the hunchback. He marked our children with deficits of being crippled. And also those who were also tainted with disease. He marked those children so that we will remember that those children belong to him. And he marked them with the destiny to be prayer warriors. So Oromola is a very important and significant person to you Africans. Please know that. Oromola was in the thick of things. He knows when you asked to come here. He knows your inception, and he knows your beginning from your end. So anything you need to know about yourself, you are to consult Oromola. He was at the right hand of God. If anything you need to know about your destiny, you need to consult Oromola. Oromola is the name for that sweet-smelling Savior that we call Jesus. Now the cat's out the hat. So we love Jesus, and we all love Jesus. And because he first loved us is what the Bible says. But we must know, if we put things in an African concept, most things that the Westerners do are borrow things from the African, and these things were borrowed from the African. And also, the immaculate conception was a borrowed concept. So you have to know the origin of things. You have to know where they came from. Don't go worshiping anything unless you know the origin of it. And if it does not come out of your culture, it cannot be your religion. All things, all religion must come out of your culture. Worship through a dialectical entity of worshiping within your culture. A polar bear does not go to the west side of Africa and starts functioning as if he's in his geographical area. He will not survive because he's geographically been assigned to a certain area to live. And if you are not living in the right place in your life and you're living a basement class lifestyle, I want to tell you that you have to live in the upper room and you have to live in the mansion of your being that will allow you to be an inheritant of the things that God has for you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has prepared for you. You know how the song goes and the scripture goes. I don't need to beat you down with scriptures. Because if that's what you came here for, this is not a Christian room. I'm not going to beat you down with scriptures. I'm going to use them when they're applicable and teach you in the time of teaching. But this is a time that we must start doing. And we must not just be a hearer of the word, but we've got to understand. We got to be a doer. So therefore, we take the scriptures and make them applicable to our lives so that they can become real and that the word will dwell among us like flesh and that it would move us to change our lives. You must understand, people, time is up on us. I only have a short time in this room to speak to you, but I will have a longer time to be able to deliver to you. But you must not turn your back anymore on your African tradition. You must purpose in your heart that you will begin to research the religion and give it a chance. I, too, could have turned my back on the African way of life because I had a theology license in my hand with support, bona fide support, to practice anywhere I wanted to in this land with credentials that was given by this order of the system as an evangelist. However, I was not finished with my training. I had to go on to another level, and that level was to know thyself. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? Knowing scriptures is not enough, ladies and gentlemen. You have to know who you are. You have to know your culture, and you have to know what your ancestors did. And right about now, we're going to pay homage to our ancestors because we know they were great in our lives, and we know that because of them, I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. I can be no greater than what my ancestors were, and it's their backs that I stand upon and not my own. And I must be reminded to acknowledge Akamare and Oladulamare, which are the Godhead, and Oromola, which is the prophet Jesus that we know. So if I have to reference to Oromola, I will continue to say the Jesus that we know. He is our friend. He is our eldest brother. And we must put him in his proper place. He cannot be God and Jesus at the same time. The Trinity, we must break down and understand that Jesus came in flesh. God could not continue to be God and be seen in flesh. He would not subject himself to the level of a man and still be God. So the Trinity has to be deciphered. You have to understand that God did not come down here on this earth and dwell among us. He sent a prophet to dwell amongst us. You cannot see God and live. He is pure combustible fire. And the God that you keep referencing to, that you are going to have a conversation and visit, he is a commander. And he has an order of things. He's not the author of confusion. Being a commander, a major, a corporate, he set the hierarchy in the strategic place of a military. You cannot see God. Repeat it with me. You cannot see the God who created the universe and live. He is pure fire, combustible. There's a hierarchy. You may see his general. And you may see his corporate, but you will not see him. So when you reference to seeing God, you must go through the command, the order of command. And God has arranged it that way to keep order in this world. So you will see Akamare. You will see Oromola. Those are the entities that you will see, but not see God that created the universe. So we're a bit confused, you say, right, Omi? Yes, we are, and we have been for a long time. We must decipher this confusion. We're no longer little children, and information should not be given to us as little children. We must grow up in our spiritual lifestyle. We must grow up, and that is why I've been called to help you to grow up and matriculate up the tree of the ladder of understanding. So as we go and acknowledge our higher self, we like to acknowledge Akamare today. Akamare is the Godhead that we cannot see or touch or have connection with. He is the one that created the universe. We pay homage to Akamare by saying Ashe. We pour homage to Oromola, which is the Jesus that we know, our eldest brother, the one that came to become the mercy seat. We say Ashe. We pay homage to our mothers and fathers. Don't forget that you must determine who is on your head for your father, who is on your head for your mother, which is our yay yay. And I say my yay yay is Yamanja, which is my mother spirit, Clara. I say Ashe. I pour libation. My father spirit, my Baba, is Obatala. Robert Jenkins, we pour libations to you. I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east. But before I do that, I light a candle for my father so that he can find his way home to the greater circle. I light a candle for my mother that she will see her way quickly back to the greater circle also. I pour libations now to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, finally, and I say Ashe. I call on Sheikh SDS to be a witness today. I call on Marvin Gaye to be a witness today. What's going on, Marvin? I call on Madam CJ Walker to walk that walk and talk that talk and use that straightening comb. Come on, Madam CJ Walker. I call on Zora Neale Hurston, the priestess that she should be, to give us another story, another narrative for this time. I call on Nina Simone to sing that song about Mississippi. Mississippi, God dog, you have been so hard on us. I call on Nina Simone, the one who was banished from the American country and forced to live in Europe. I call her back now. Nina, you have access to the universe. Come on in, sister. I call on Harriet Tubman, the Moses of this time, who led the Underground Railroad and brought the people over and said, you're going to wade the water, else you're going to be a dead Negro. Come on in, Moses, and bring your Underground Railroad. I call on Sheikh Diop. Sheikh Ez, bring your crew with you and come on. I call on Marcus Garvey and the Garveyites and say, Garveyites, sit down and sit with us and sup and do the planning that we should have done a long time ago. I call on Marcus Garvey. I call on Martin. Have you seen my old friend Martin? Has anybody seen him? Can you tell me where he's gone? Sweet Coretta, bring him on in. I call on these deities that they may allow us to stand on their shoulders and that we may look over into the promised land that is a manifestation of our higher consciousness. Our higher consciousness will be our promised land. Let us understand that the promised land is in your consciousness, and whatever perception you can perceive at, you will create your own consciousness. At this moment, I send a prayer out. Father, I pray for all of those who are represented here today. I pray for all of those various different diverse people, the Hmong family. I pray for the Japanese, the Chinese. I pray for the minorities that think they're minorities to come into consciousness, those Africans who were in the thick of things and were on top of things. I pray for them that they will come into consciousness now and know who they really are and stop calling themselves a minority. I pray for those who are in leadership to take a proper stand and to stand, and when they've done all that they can do to stand, remain standing. I pray for those who have been despitefully used because of their content of their character, not because of where they stand on subject matter. I pray for all of those mothers who are without husbands in their home right now, but trying to raise up an army. I pray for that army that they will know exactly who the enemy is Enemies will not be decided for us. We will decide who our enemies and our heroes will be. I pray for those families who are wayward and who are still seeking welfare in the system. I pray that they will come out of the welfare stage and that they will know that they are inheritance. I pray that they will receive their inheritance. I pray that they will go after their inheritance with the vengeance and they will take back what's theirs. I pray that every one of those contrite spirits will reverse today and their mindset will be set on standing strong and not having a feeble mind. I pray that their minds are healed today. I send healing across the land today for those who are sick. And those Caucasians who have children that are hidden away and that are sick and they can't find healing for, I send healing even to them to those children that are albinos who are locked away, who cannot go in society because people mar them. I pray for even those children that are still in the Caucasus Mountain and can't get free and need to come home and stand up on all two legs and stop crawling around on all four. I pray for them today that they will come to their senses and realize the manner of man that is deceiving them is God. I pray that they will come into realization that they're dealing with the real God today, that the gods have waken up, and I wake up the gods today. Those who are slumbering in sleep and who don't know who they are, I call them out of their slumber anesthesis. I call them into consciousness right now that they will start functioning as gods in a time when we most need them. I pray that they will recognize who the real God is, who the real Jesus is, and they will begin to align themselves with God, and they will function as gods and stand on the front line. I pray for them today. I pray for those black men who are hunted and who have gone after like the bald eagle. I pray that their names will come off the list of the bald eagle and that they will be no more on that list. I pray the jail cells will be open and those who have been falsely accused will come out, and they will come out with all power in their hand. I pray that while they're there, they will begin to permeate their minds and to educate and rehabilitate themselves so that they don't come out a babbling fool and seek to hurt society anymore. I pray that, Lord, you will do away with the former things and we will come into the new, and there will be no need for security, but we will secure ourselves and we will have iwapelu and we will live upright and have good character and good consciousness. I pray that these things will come upon us. As an African communion, I pray that we will take this communion, and I pray that we will be careful every day to stop and to acknowledge our ancestors. As we meditate, we all say, meditating on what our ancestors used to be and the greatness that they had in their hand, because if they traveled through the middle passage and they made it back here to have us in their loins, they had to be strong people. And what they're made of, we are the sum total of why they came. And we know that we must make it to the promised land. And the promised land is within our being. Let us cultivate our being and our mind. Let us covet our mind so that out of it will come the issues of life. And the things that we take into ourselves, let us not harm this body, because we truly are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we must live upright. We must acknowledge the fact that we've been called to a lifestyle. And as we present today on these airways the way of life, as we go from this place, but not from your hearts, we will present on a way of life, and we will go back to ourselves as Africans, and we will live an unadulterated life of truth, and we will lay down the foundation for the world to see that they will walk after our foundation, and we will help them come into reasoning like we did once before when our forefathers gave the world reasoning. We will show those contrite people who walked on all fours how to stand up with two legs and be a natural man. We will not only aspire to be a human being, but we will ask the Creator to help us become a divine being so that we will master this thing called flesh and bring it up under subjection, and we will then walk in the Spirit, and we will go after those things that are not temporal but are permanent, and that is Spirit. We will come away from materialistic things. We will not set our hearts on the media, meaning that everything that we see that's tangible is lasting. We will learn that only what's lasting is spiritual, and we will begin to start to speak like a natural man in the Spirit, and we will let God use us in his infinite wisdom, and we will be his breastplate of honor. We will be his mouthpiece. Allow God to use you today. Allow God to use you, and we thank you for allowing God to bring you here up under the sound of my voice, and let the meditation of my heart and the concepts that I'm speaking be acceptable, Lord, in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on the path of righteousness, not on the path that has gone astray, but on that path of righteousness, iwapelu, good character, good conduct. And help us, Father, to have you look at us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We say all praises to the mighty one. I am Islamic because I am one who submits to the will of God. I am one who enjoys and delights in the power of prayer. I am Christian because I'm solidified in Christ. And I am African spiritualist because I believe in the ancestors. And I am Buddhist because I am one who meditates on the word. Help us to be all things to all people. Help us to embrace all the prophets and help us to acknowledge all the prophets and let us meet each other in our commonalities, not in our differences. And Lord, this day, upon African American History Month, help us to come into consciousness to celebrate African American History Month throughout the year, not just on one day or one month, but throughout the year. Help us to be those that you have called out to be able to be examples for the kingdom. And help every Christian to come into alliance and not to allow the Willie Lynch theory to cause them to want to solidify everyone in Christ and change their religion. Let people create their religion out of their culture and be content with where they are and stop trying to convert every other religion. Let us accept each other for what we are. And if we choose to be African spirituals, let us go on. And if we choose to be Islamic, let us go on, or Christianity, or Buddhist, then nine times out of ten, we all have a bit of, but none of us have all of the truth. And as we go, make sure we live a righteous life, regardless of what label we put on our religion, and help us come away from religion. Help us kill the spirit of religion and have a way of life. And I say to God be the glory, and may God be with you and go with you all the way. Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I got a bit long-winded on that prayer because it was much. Where much is needed, much is given. So I hope that you've been blessed by the prayer. But once again, in all honesty, Africans, we are going to have to get conscious. And I guess I'm on a platform today. There will not be all the enticing things going on in this room like there usually is. This is Black History Month, and we've got to come into consciousness. We got to learn who we are, and we got to do it quickly, and we must grow up. We must grow up, and as we grow up, we must understand that there's nothing greater than you knowing yourself. And as we talk about the way of life today, I want you to understand that God intended for you to know yourself. He didn't intend for you to be confused and lost in your cosmic record. He wants me to help you to reopen those cosmic records, to remind you of who you once were, and to remind you of who your ancestors were. They were great people. They were truly a great people, and they civilized the world. And once they civilized themselves, the history tells me that they went into the Caucasus Mountains to bring out a people to even civilize them. Now, Moses documented this. Aristotle, Hippocrates, they all documented that the Africans were truly the ones that brought reasoning, and some of them were even killed for saying that because some others did not want to hear this slander. But nevertheless, Africans, you need to know something about the religion that's been blasphemed called the African religion. It has been blasphemed to the point where they've called it High John the Conqueror. They have demonized it and called it voodoo. They have demonized it and called it fetish. They have demonized it and called it black magic, white magic. But what do you call it? Who do the people say that African religion is? What do you say? Do you say it cannot be our stuff because we've got Christianity? Tell me, when did you get Christianity? And who brought you Christianity? There was a time that African slaves could not even go into the church, lest they go in with their masters. You are not given the privilege of being a true Christian. You were gone into the churches with your master. You didn't have a mind of your own. And if the religion was so great then, and giving you the religion, they had to have told you what to think and how to think. A true religion will free you, so you're inhibitively able to think for yourself, and you're not attached to pedagogical philosophy. So I'm not giving you a religion. Africans don't give you a religion. They give you a way of life. And all forms of religion came out of Africa. But Africans believed in a way of life. Everything they did was cultivated around their way of life. Their very character was an upright character based on the regularization of their way of life. They believed in Iwapelu having good character, good conduct, and credibility. So everything stemmed from that to create their so-called lifestyle and way of life. That is something we're missing as an African. We do not have a way of life. Our credibility is shot. Our handshake is no longer our word. We are crooked in our thinking. We have become liars and lovers of ourselves, and we have not practiced good Iwapelu. So we must get back to good character and good conduct. We must get back to loving ourselves again. So we must take up with our own religion and traditions and customs and turn away from these false gods. Africans have fallen in Africa because they turned their backs on their gods. And some of them know it now. And they're slowly turning back to their traditions of their fathers. How is it that we can go into Africa, the people who made religion, and tell them they're doing it all wrong and put on them a Jesus who they never knew anything about? Jesus did not come to every race of people. Come on now, church. It said that he was sent to the Hebrews. He wasn't sent to everyone, and not even the Africans. So why would you go over as missionaries and try to put Jesus on the Africans there and tell them that they're doing it all wrong? And then at the same time, give them AIDS and kill them off. How could you be raising up a people while killing them at the same time? So that's an oxymoron, you say, right, Omi? Yes, it is. So you got to come into your right senses. You let no one give you religion. Religion comes up out of your way of life. And you must understand that another culture cannot come in and give you your religion. And if you allow that to happen, then you're idolatry worshiping. So I want to get us out of idolatry worshiping. I want to get us in a mindset that we're capable of creating a lifestyle from a people that was once righteous, from a people that was once upright, from a people that was once credible, from a people that was once loving. All of these beatitudes we once were as a race of people. And if we turn our backs on those things in lieu of embracing something else, we might be missing something. And I think we are missing something today, good character and good conduct. As you know, Ifa stands for good character and good conduct, and it will mend our broken hearts, because once we get good character and good conduct, we can treat each other right. We can begin to love each other no matter what the content of our character is, no matter what we believe in. We can begin to treat each other right because we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that each and every one of us deserves to have a right to function in our own culture. Now, when a people has fallen lower than the level of a refugee, that's when you pick them up and you give them something to get on their feet. So Africans, that's probably why we're running to Christianity, because we've fallen lower than a refugee. But when you get up, if you've fallen and gotten up, then turn back to your religion. Turn back to your customs and traditions. And find the authentic thing. You must understand that Christianity was a newcomer, has been a newcomer on the scene. So if the people from the East, the Kemetic people, the Nubian people, preceded Christ, and they lived a righteous life, and there was no Christ that was walking the face of this earth, did God forget to give them a deliverer or a God? Did they have to wait till Jesus came here on the scene to have a deliverance and a way to get to Christ?